As we think about our annual theme of enjoying life in His name, it's because He is so good. You know, one of the things that we see over and over through the Gospel of John is Jesus using physical situations, physical realities, to direct people to spiritual realities that they are to wrestle with. You know, when you think about God becoming man, God taking on flesh, we see the ultimate example of God revealing Himself in a way that people can know Him and put their trust in Him. The spiritual reality shown through the physical. We've seen this in the book of John in a number of ways, with Nicodemus being born again, or with the woman at the well, the fountain of living water, or bread from heaven, or healing the physically blind reveals the spiritually blind. And now today, we're going to look at shepherds so we can understand the Lord is the good shepherd. Now, this is actually the third of seven statements in the Gospel of John that Jesus says, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. And He will say, I am the resurrection, the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. And lastly, He'll say, I am the true vine. You see, Jesus is revealing Himself, sharing who He is, God in the flesh, the Messiah, the Christ. And so the Gospel of John is written that we would believe in the Christ. And He gives us all these gracious, physical examples to direct people to consider who Christ is and to believe. And so we are to rejoice when people, like the blind man, have their eyes opened and place their trust in Jesus, the Son of Man, and then they worship Him. Now, in our text today, we're going to have another example that helps us know and trust the Lord, a shepherd. Now, I did some Googling about sheep, and I watched the funniest video that I have seen in a long time of a shepherd rescuing his sheep. What had happened was there was this crevice in the land. It was a very narrow crevice, and a sheep had jumped into this crevice and was totally stuck down, and you could barely see the sheep. And this shepherd is pulling this sheep up, and he finally gets the sheep free, and the sheep is dirty, full of wool, and the sheep bounds away joyfully, running as fast as it can go, and it jumps right back into the crevice again. It had the whole field to run anywhere it wanted to, and it ran right back, and literally it disappeared, and it bounded in there full of joy, and it was gone into the crevice. I watched that video, I don't know, two or three times, and every time I thought, sheep need shepherds. They have the whole field to run to, and they go into the crevice. They can't rescue themselves. Sheep need a shepherd. A shepherd protects, provides, rescues, leads the sheep, and they are to trust Him. The people in the ancient Near East knew about sheep and shepherds well. They understood the care a good shepherd has for its sheep, and this would be a wonderful opportunity for them to consider who Jesus is and put their trust in Him. And so this morning, we're going to look at enjoying life in His name by following the Good Shepherd. With that in mind, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. That's on page 80 in the back section of the Bible under the chair in front of you. John chapter 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 21. John 10, 1 through 21 on page 80. If you need a Bible, there's one under the seat of the chair in front of you. And then on page 80 is John chapter 10 in the back section. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. As we consider our text today, let's look at four reasons we follow Jesus, our shepherd. The first reason we see in the text is that Jesus is the true shepherd. Again, Jesus uses the physical, what they can see, to help them understand, trust, and believe what they cannot see. They see Jesus right in front of them. But they must believe who he says he is, namely the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Good Shepherd. This is in contrast to thieves and robbers. Now, a sheepfold. Think about a sheepfold. It's a place where you keep sheep, right? And there's a wall around it to keep the sheep in. Now, the way sheepfolds work in the ancient Near East is they would often have a central holding area like a courtyard, and several families will use this sheepfold, and they would just keep all their sheep together. And they would hire a doorkeeper, an under-shepherd, to man the door. So when the shepherd comes, he would come and get his sheep, and the doorkeeper would recognize him. Ah, this is one of the shepherds of the sheep. I'm going to let him into this door so he can get access to his sheep. If people wanted to get sheep who were not legit, they couldn't go to the doorkeeper who would recognize this is not a shepherd. They had to go in another way. They had to climb the wall and get the sheep and steal them from a different way. Matthew 23 is interesting in that it says, scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the seat of Moses. They've placed themselves in positions of authority. They have access to the sheep, but they have tied up heavy burdens on the sheep that are not from the Lord. They have devoured widows' houses. They are functioning like thieves and robbers and wolves who do not have a love and a concern for the sheep. Jesus is saying, I am different. I am legit. I am the shepherd. I've been sent from the Father. I've come in the right way. Will you have eyes to see and believe that I am who I say I am, the owner of the sheep? Part of his proof is that he's recognized by his sheep. Now think about it. With a bunch of families throwing all their sheep together, how do you get your sheep? How do you gather your sheep? Well, the sheep hear the voice and respond because of the familiarity of knowing the voice of the shepherd. That confirms that is their shepherd. They know him. Where strangers, they will run away from. Stranger danger is like in the sheep, you know, Rolodex or the sheep dictionary. This is a stranger. I'm going to run away. Versus this voice I have heard over and over and over again. I know this shepherd. Psalm 23 comes to mind when we think about this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is viewed as a shepherd over and over again in the Old Testament. When the people were in Egypt, when Israel was in Egypt, they were primarily shepherds. And the Lord rescued them and led them out of Egypt like a shepherd. Oh, give ear, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth. Or Isaiah 40, verse 11, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. John MacArthur puts it like this: perhaps the most enduring and intimate title is that of shepherd. Centuries before the Messiah came, the Old Testament had predicted that he would shepherd his people. Ezekiel 34:23 says that God said, "Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David," which is a reference to the Messiah, David's descendant, "and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd." Micah prophesied that the Messiah would arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And predicting Messiah's death, Zechariah 13:7 says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones." So God is referred over and over again as the shepherd. But still, how do the sheep recognize the shepherd? Well, think about how a sheep in the physical would recognize the shepherd. There is a care and a concern over weeks and months and years of the shepherd caring for the sheep, trekking up and down hills, leading them to find food and water, calling out to them, redirecting them, pulling them back from danger towards warmth and safety, making sure their bellies are full and they're fed and their wounds are addressed. Now think about what Jesus says, who he is, how much he references Scripture, the Word of God, how much he references the Old Testament. And just think about a Jewish person who knows the Word of God for years, knows the history of Israel and God shepherding his people, rescuing his people, leading them out of Egypt, feeding them, fighting for them, protecting them. What Jesus says and what Jesus is doing would look and sound very familiar if someone believes the Word, believes God has revealed himself through his Word, and God says that I created you, I've provided for you, I've rescued you from slavery, I've brought you to the promised land, I've fought for you, I knit you together in your mother's womb, I've guided your steps, and God has said that he's willing to forgive their sin through blood sacrifice, and he wants to dwell and be with them, that person will recognize Jesus because Jesus is the Word of God become flesh. Everything Jesus says, who he is and what he does as a shepherd resonates and fulfills all that God has said about himself in the Word for generations. And so he is recognized by his sheep. They hear his voice. They recognize the word of God in the flesh, and they follow him. They respond to him. He calls them, and he leads them. He calls his own. He goes ahead of them. Now, in Western sheep herding, we usually have sheepdogs. It's fascinating to watch them work, but the way they work is they drive the sheep. They nip at the sheep. They bark and they corral the sheep, and they're constantly running around pushing the sheep into a herd and directing them. But that's not how it worked in the ancient Near East. The shepherd went first, led the way with his voice. And the sheep followed, knowing this voice leads to a good place where there's food, warmth, safety, love, and care. This, unfortunately, is in contrast to many of the shepherds of Israel, leaders who did not lead the people well. Jeremiah 23, 1 through 4 says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture," declares the Lord. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people, you've scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds," declares the Lord. "And I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. And I also will raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them. And they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing," declares the Lord. The shepherds have not cared for the flock. In fact, they have destroyed the flock, scattered the flock. In fact, most of this is because of greed, using the people for their own gain. Isaiah 56 says it like this: "His watchmen are blind, all of them know nothing. All of them are mute dogs, unable to bark. Dreamers lying down who love to slumber, they're lazy. And the dogs are greedy. They're not satisfied, and they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one." Many shepherds of Israel are like mute dogs. Now, if a dog is good for anything, it's barking, right? I mean, almost all dogs, even little yips, all dogs will at some point in time give you a bark here and there. If a dog is good for anything, it's to bark. But here we see the leaders of Israel don't even do the most basic task of caring for the people, like a dog who can't even bark. But like a dog, they're good at eating and using the people. It's sort of like the leaders in John chapter 9 who grill a blind man who was healed recently to get information from him they can use against Jesus. Instead of rejoicing that a man was healed, that is the kind of spiritually blind and selfish leadership Israel has had. And so the Lord took on flesh to shepherd his people, and he's calling his people, his flock, to himself. And where he is leading is good, much different than these bad shepherds who have been fleecing the people. You see, we follow Jesus because Jesus is the door to eternal life. Where he leads is good. He's the true shepherd, and he leads to a good place. The Lord is using the physical imagery of pasture, a place of food, freedom, and safety, to describe the spiritual reality of life with God, the good shepherd, dwelling in his pasture. And his way, his pasture, is good, in contrast to many false teachers who've come before him. there are a lot of false messiahs that have come before Jesus. In Acts chapter 5, we hear about two examples of people who stirred up people and brought people with them and led a rebellion against Rome, and it led to nothing, and the people were scattered. Many times these leaders lead a rebellion, and the people pay with their life. And oftentimes leaders are simply looking to gain power and prestige and wealth and use the people. Jesus warns the people in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." They want to eat. They want to come into the sheep gate by another way and use the people, not lead the people to pasture. In history, there have been many leaders like Hitler, Stalin, Mao, who arose to power seeking to strengthen and serve the people, but in the end, they used, fleeced, and destroyed the people. There are many modern-day messiahs, paths, and people that promise to fulfill us, protect us, and satisfy us, but they only want to use us. That is why it is so important to understand there is only one door to salvation. Many will offer pasture, but there is only one door to salvation. The first section, verses 1 through 6, "I'm the shepherd, I'm recognized, I come to the sheepfold in the right way," they don't get it. They don't understand. Our gracious God changes the metaphor. He shifts it so they can understand better. And he says, "I'm not just the true shepherd, I'm the door. I'm the door to the sheepfold." What he is saying is there is only one door, only one way to go from the sheepfold to the pasture. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through him. If there's one thing that you take away from this message today, I pray it's the message that Jesus, as the good shepherd, is exclusive. There are not multiple ways to heaven. There is only one way to heaven, only one way to life after death. That is the spiritual reality that we are trying to address over and over again if people will have eyes to see. But they must see there is only one door. People in the ancient Near East would understand you only have one door to the sheepfold to protect and contain the sheep. He is saying, "I am that door." There's only one way, and they must believe Jesus is who he says he is, the Messiah that's going to do far more than rescue them from Rome. He's going to rescue them from death itself. But there is only one way. John 14:6, later in John, affirms this. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life," and he says it so clearly, "no one comes to the Father but through me." He is the door. Later, this is affirmed in Acts as Peter gives his sermon when he says, "There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." There is only one way, one door, one name. But that one way leads to so very much. In fact, the text says the door leads to abundant life. Now, the word abundant here is important. I want to give them life and life abundant. Abundant means more than sufficient, over and above, plenty, leftovers, crumbs of Jesus that are way more than enough. The feeding of the 5,000 had leftovers, plenty for everybody and much left over. The good shepherd has more than enough for what we need and what we're longing for out of life. Just think about what your greatest desires are out of life. Think about what people want from their life. I think people want to have a meaningful job where they're appreciated, a fun group of friends who care and support you, a family that is devoted and affectionate towards one another, kids that love the Lord and are kind to other kids and are growing and want to learn and take direction, a church family where you fulfill your God-given mission together. You're satisfied in doing a job well done, using your gifts and abilities in a meaningful way. We want to be stimulated intellectually, challenged to learn new things, but we want to have rest and relaxation as well. We want pleasure as well as excitement. We want so many things, and so many things offer it and cannot deliver. All that you want out of life can only be provided by the shepherd of your soul. But you must go through him. You cannot go around him and on your own try to get all that you want out of life. And what we find is that there's so much more I didn't even realize I wanted. He's got better food. He has more safety. He knows what true joy is. He knows not just a good life, but abundant life, more than enough. Jesus himself is more than all of your desires wrapped up and multiplied by 1,000. Because everything good you want can only come from the good shepherd. And yet, like the sheep who gets rescued and runs over right back into the place of danger, so we too often think the grass is greener on the other side. I can lead myself based on my desires. And then sexual immorality is viewed as true pleasure. Or I think that gossip is dramatic and exciting. Or manipulation is how to get things done. That people fearing us or shouting our name is missional. Or that greed and gluttony are satisfying when they never are. They always leave you wanting more. Every other false messiah promises life, but leads to death and destruction. You see, not believing who Jesus is and trusting him as the way, the truth, and the life, the door, well, every other path leads to eternal death in hell forever. And if you've never repented of your sin, if you've never turned from your own way to Jesus as your shepherd, I pray you do that even this morning. Because Jesus is calling his sheep to follow him. His sheep hear his voice and respond to him. They trust him to take them to pasture. And so we all must ask, whose voice do you respond to? Is it your own? Is it your friends? Is it our culture? Or is it the word of Christ? The text says that not only is Jesus the true shepherd, but Jesus is the good shepherd. He is good because he lays down his life for the sheep. Now, a shepherd like David fights bears and lions to protect his sheep. And he will put his life at risk to protect a lamb from a bear or a lion. But the text says that Jesus, our good shepherd, goes further. He doesn't just put his life at risk. He lays down his life. John uses the term lay down his life in the Gospel of John over and over again. And the focus with that terminology of he lays it down is about the intentionality, the voluntary substitutional death of Jesus to save those who are his. He does it on purpose. He is the one laying down his life. He is going to the cross willfully with purpose to save the sheep who are in mortal danger. He dies instead of deserts and runs away because he is an owner and not a hired hand. My parents are small business owners. Growing up, I worked in the family store. I learned the value of customer service and doing deliveries and just what it meant to own a business. And we had great employees, but one thing that I learned very clearly is that even when you have great employees, they are not owners. They will never care about the business like an owner. There is a fundamental difference between getting a paycheck versus caring about the well-being and sustainability of a business. On vacation, you're never truly on vacation. You're still tied to the store no matter where you are. There's a good way, a good thing about it, and a bad thing about it. But as an owner, you realize your life is tied to the business. You recognize there's a responsibility, and you never punch out because you're not a hired hand. You're an owner. The spiritual reality. Don't just get caught up on the business side of it. The spiritual reality is that Jesus cares about you like no other. He cares about you like an owner. He purchased you with his own blood. You are his. He is tied to you like an owner in the best way. And he's committed to protect you, to provide for you, to care about you. And he demonstrated that by laying down his life so that you can have abundant life. And he will never, never, ever abandon you because he loves you and he purchased you with his own blood. He owns you in the best way. You see, there is this intimate love because he knows his sheep and he knows the Father. Jesus is not simply doing a job. He knows you intimately. He knows every hair on your head. The shepherd calls the sheep by name. He knows all of your gifts, all of your abilities, all of your weaknesses. He knows every time this week that you honored him. And he knows every time this week that you sinned against him. He knows those who are lost. Jeremiah 56, my people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They've made them turn aside on the mountains. They've gone along from mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place. He knows his sheep. He knows you. He cares for you. He is on a rescue mission for his sheep. He is good and he wants to lead his sheep to rest. But there are still trials that he allows into our life. There is often innocent suffering in a sin-cursed world. He is leading you not simply to greener pastures, but to the green pasture, the ultimate place of rest. And his desire for you, his love for you, this relationship that Jesus has with his sheep is an extension of Jesus' relationship with the Father. The intimate trust and love the Father and the Son have, well, the Son calls us into that relationship and extends that love to the sheep. You see, his love and compassion are expressed further than we can possibly understand, but we get a little bit of a picture because we see he is drawing together one flock from various folds. We know the Messiah is to be a blessing to all the nations. We see in the book of Revelation people from every tribe, and tongue, worshiping the Lord. We know from the Canaanite woman that Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. That's the priority. But he has other sheep from other folds, different people groups. That is us. We see here the Gentiles are indeed a part of God's plan. There are his sheep among the Gentiles. We are his sheep too. God is graciously drawing many people from many different places to himself through one door to have one shepherd. He's taking Jews and Gentiles, as Ephesians says, making the two into one new man, one new flock with one shepherd. That is good news. No matter what your background is, no matter where you are from, Jesus is gathering his sheep from all over. And that is why we share the gospel with different people groups and people from all different walks of life. He has Gentile sheep who hear his voice also. So the question that flows out of that is, how excited are you to be included in his flock? And how excited are you to share with others so that they can also be included no matter their background? Lastly, we follow Jesus because Jesus is sent by the Father. Jesus is communicating who he is over and over and over again through the shepherd metaphor, how his sheep hear his voice and follow him. He combines this with truth that he is God in the flesh, the promised shepherd of Israel, the Messiah. He talks about his relationship with the Father. He listens to the Father and follows the Father's plan for the shepherd to lay down his life and pick it back up again and to call his sheep and die for his sheep to lead them to life. This whole relationship that Jesus has with the Father is based on love and obedience. We, as the sheep, are to follow Jesus, to love, trust, and obey Jesus because Jesus has a perfect relationship of love and trust and obedience with the Father. And if we are to enter into that relationship, it is to be marked with love, trust, and obedience. We are to function as sheep based on love and obedience. John later says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep, you'll guard, you'll value my commandments. We don't say, I love you, God, so much, but I am not going to obey you. Love you, will not obey you. I will not listen to your voice. I will not do what you say. I will not follow you, but I am your sheep. It does not work that way. Jesus illustrates the relational focus of love and obedience because it requires trust. He does this with Peter after the resurrection. Peter denied him three times. And Jesus comes and sits down with him, has breakfast, and in John 21 says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John. Don't you love it how he calls him by name? Do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, tend my sheep. If you love me, then obey me. By extending your love for me to my sheep, to love others, the greatest commandment, Love God and love others. You must connect the two together. He commands Peter three times, and every time connects it to the question, do you love me? If you do, then feed them, tend them. Be a good shepherd, not like the bad shepherds from the past. The good shepherd, the chief shepherd, sets up under shepherds. The title pastor comes from the word pasture. And there's a shepherding focus. And there is great joy for me as a pastor to shepherd people as an under-shepherd of the chief shepherd. But it always must be connected to obeying the Father and loving the Father and obeying the Father and then loving and serving other people as a pastor, as a follower of Christ, as a follower of the good shepherd. And so everyone, it's good to ask themselves, am I his sheep? Is there evidence in my life that I actually follow what he says? Do I believe what he says about himself, that he's the Messiah, that he laid down his life and he picked it back up so I can be saved from hell? Do I believe who he is? But then do I actually listen to him? Do I truly believe who he is? And do I follow his voice? Do I read his word? Do I know his word? Do I recognize his word? Do I obey his commands because I trust him? I believe who he is, that he loves me, laid down his life for me, and is leading me through his word. If you don't listen to him, don't follow him, it's a good question to ask if you are indeed his sheep. Maybe the first step for you, if you don't listen to what he says, if you don't obey him in your life, admit your sin, admit your rebellion, and place your faith and trust in what he did on the cross, and turn to him and follow him as your good shepherd instead of following your own desires. You see, we are to follow him because he actually has power to actually protect us, not just from lions and tigers and bears, oh my, but from death itself. Jesus is kind and compassionate, but he's powerful. He can actually protect the sheep because he has all authority over life and death. He can lay down his life, he can pick it back up. He has authority. The Christian life is all about following and recognize he has authority, not me as the sheep can lead myself. Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, that you can lead yourself and take up his cross and follow me. It's about trusting and following the good shepherd because he has the heart, the power, and the authority to actually shepherd us well. So do you recognize the authority the shepherd has over your life? And do you believe that that's a good thing? Because he is the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the door to eternal life. Now after Jesus says this, the people begin to argue and say he has a demon. When you can't explain something, you just kind of say something has a demon, apparently. But in fact, some of them say, wait a second, he actually can heal the blind. You see, Jesus has authority to heal the spiritually blind. Demons come to destroy. Every false messiah of this world is ultimately satanic. And the devil is seeking like a roaring lion to devour and destroy. Where Jesus is the good shepherd to lay down his life and not kill and use people, but to save them. The physical metaphor points to the spiritual so that we would have eyes to see and trust Jesus as the good shepherd and then follow him and his will, as Hebrews 13 says. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I pray that you will follow the Good Shepherd. Let's pray to that end, shall we? Lord, I pray for any who are here who do not know Jesus to repent of their sin and place their faith and trust in Jesus, the one who laid down his life and picked it back up again. Lord, for those here who are indeed followers of Christ, I pray they will listen to your word, they will trust you, and they will follow you each and every day because of your love for them and their love for you as their good shepherd. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.